Now, a family talk, which is also a creation spot as well. Now, if you read the book of Genesis, you will find that God created all the sea creatures that live in the sea. Then if you read Genesis chapter 1, you'll see that God created the birds of the air that fly around. Then he created the animals before he created man. God created the animals. And there are many animals that God has created that are of benefit to us today. For instance, the horse is of great benefit to mankind. I went to a country show in September down near Stenning. It was down there somewhere. And they were doing the old-fashioned ploughing with horses, doing it the old-fashioned way before machinery came along. Horses have been a great benefit, of course, to mankind. And then, of course, you've got the horse racing industry and so on. And maybe there's somebody here who owns a horse. I don't know. And then God created sheep with this lovely woolly jumper I've got on, because the wool keeps us nice and warm. There's a lovely little medieval church down near Stenning called St. Bartolph's. I don't know if anybody's ever been there. It's open every day. If you're a cyclist, you might have cycled past it. It's a beautiful little medieval church. And they have monthly services which are to do with agriculture. And they have what they call a sheep shearing Sunday service, when they thank God for all the wool that comes off the backs of all the sheep. Some of you may have been to Coombs Farm, which is just a bit further down the road, where in the spring they open up the farm and thousands of people come to see all the newborn lambs and so on. And it's really quite a wonderful thing. Now, I brought a friend of mine this morning for our family talk, if I can get hold of him carefully. And this is my dog, Henry. This is Henry. And dogs are remarkable creatures. God created dogs. They're man's best friend. I'm sure some of you here have a dog, and you have to perhaps take it out twice a day, which is a good thing, because it makes you get out and walk and exercise and so on. And dogs have the amazing ability to run. You see his feet. Dogs can run faster than mankind can run, I think. I'm not sure. But they can run a terrific speed, a dog can. But the other interesting thing about dogs is their sense of smell. When God created dogs, he gave them this amazing sense of smell, much bigger than humans have. And so police use dogs to sniff out drugs. They use dogs to search for missing people, because they can follow the scent. And so God has created all these different animals that are of benefit to mankind. So I thought you might find that rather interesting this morning. Now, reading from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and the first 15 verses. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So reads God's word. I wonder, have you planned your summer holidays yet? This is the time of the year when people start to think about summer holidays and they need some guidance. Well, you may go to the travel agents and pick up some brochures and so on, and they will give you guidance as to a holiday you could book. And the travel agent themselves can be very helpful in helping you with guidance as to transport and so on. So it's the time of the year when people need guidance when it comes to their holidays. Well, in our passage we've been reading from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is giving some guidance concerning prayer. First of all, of course, he tells us about those who like to be seen to be praying in public, those who also want to be seen to be giving to those who are in need. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. But Jesus also talks about the hypocrites. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Now, some churches do what are called prayer walks, where they go around a particular locality and they are in a group and they pray. They go to a certain street and they pray for that street, and then they go to another street and they pray for that street. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's something a little bit different. But here Jesus is talking about the hypocrites who love to be seen to be praying in public. Of course, there is a place, of course, as we have been praying this morning, there is a place for prayer for us, isn't there? But when Jesus says this, he says, when you pray, go into your room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. There is an important place for private prayer at home. Now, I do realise that is not necessarily easy. If you don't live in a Christian family, for example, to pray, to find somewhere quiet where you can pray, where you won't be disturbed, where you can go into a room and shut the door and pray to your Father, that's not always easy. But I hope and I trust that each one of you here has that very important time of private prayer between you and God, probably at home. If it's difficult to do it at home, go for a walk. Go and pray walking in the countryside or whatever. There are sorts of other ways in which we can pray. And Jesus says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard of for their many words. We don't always need to pray long prayers, do we? It can be quite short prayers that are short and to the point. I remember I was at a committee meeting once, and there was a dear brother there, and he was asked to close the committee meeting in prayer. Well, his prayer lasted 20 minutes and included a sermon within the prayer. So I don't think he was asked to close in prayer again. You have to be careful about that sort of thing. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? The foreknowledge of God. He knows what you need before you even ask him. Wow, how about that? Well, then Jesus goes on, and we have the Lord's Prayer here. And this is a guide. The Lord's Prayer is a guide to prayer. And we can really divide the Lord's Prayer into two, because the first three verses is where we are addressing God and we are worshipping him. And then the last three verses in this passage are our needs to be met and other circumstances to be met. So let's just look from verse 9 for a moment this morning. This then is how you should pray. So here we have God's guide to prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, God's throne is in heaven. That's where the throne of God is. Jesus at the moment is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's our great high priest. He ever lives to intercede for us, and he's at the Father's right hand until he comes again. So our God is in heaven. By the way, there are three heavens mentioned in the Bible. I probably may have said this before. If you look in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talks about being taken up to the third heaven. It may have been Paul, it may have been somebody else. He talks about being taken up to the third heaven. So if there's a third heaven, there's got to be two other heavens. So the first heaven is sort of the sky above us, where clouds are, where planes fly. The second heaven is sort of outer space and all this vastness of it. And then the third heaven is where the throne of God is, where God rules. So our Father is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. God has a name. In the Old Testament, that name is Yahweh, which is translated the Lord in capital letters in our Bible translations, in the King James Version and in more modern verses. It's translated as the Lord. But God's name is indeed Yahweh if we look into the Old Testament. Your kingdom come, and God's kingdom will come. In a sense, God's kingdom has already come on earth. We are part of God's kingdom. The church is part of God's kingdom. But indeed, his kingdom will come when Jesus comes again. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is in control of this chaotic world. The world's in chaos at the moment. There are wars and rumours of wars are circulating and so on. But God is on the throne. He is in charge of this world, and his will be done. And if you go to verses 11, 12 and 13, it's us addressing God for our needs. Verse 11, give us today our daily bread. You know, we're very fortunate in this country. We can go to the shop and they're full of food. And you know, in Horsham, there's three supermarkets within 200 yards of each other. You've got Sainsbury's, then you've got Aldi, a new one, then you've got Waitrose. Three supermarkets almost next door to each other. Crazy, isn't it? If you went to a third world country, perhaps you might have to go 200 miles to find a supermarket. But, well, there we are. That's the way it is. We have so much to be thankful for, don't we, in this country. Give us today our daily bread. And God will supply all our needs. The Bible says God will supply all your needs through his riches in Christ Jesus, whether it's for food or whatever that need is. And then it says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Now, that's not to do with financial debt. It's if someone wrongs us or in some way or upsets us, we must forgive those who perhaps have wronged us in some way. Because in verse 14 he says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So we need to be forgiven by God. And we need to forgive those who maybe have wronged us in some way. And then verse 13, lead us not into temptation. There's so many temptations out there in the world. There are so many things that can pull us away from God and from our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in these days in which we live. And the evil one is the one who is behind all these temptations. Deliver us from the evil one, because he is very, very active in the world today. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. So there is, very briefly, God's guide to prayer. How important it is that we use this guide, as it were, in our daily prayers and also in our prayers. We haven't had prayers of intercession yet, which we're going to have now before we sing our last hymn. It's quite a brief message this morning, but just to sum up then, we must not be seen to pray in public to impress people or anything like that. We don't need to make long prayers. We need to make specific and important and definite prayers on definite subjects and so on. And we worship our God as we pray, and we bring our needs before him. But as we come just now for a prayer about the world in which we live, the world situation continues to deteriorate. Things are getting worse. There's talk of war with Russia in 3 years' time, all that sort of stuff that's going on. And we have all that's going on in Iran at the moment. We need to pray very, very much about what's going on there. God has been doing amazing things in Iran. Muslims have been having dreams about Jesus and coming to know him in Iran. The church is growing faster in Iran than in any other country in the world today. That's amazing, isn't it? And so as Iran is in the news at the moment, we need to pray for Iran. We need to pray for the continuing situation in the Middle East. We thank God there is a ceasefire. It's a bit precarious, but there is a ceasefire, and it seems to be continuing at this present time. We need to pray for our country this morning. For our country has departed from God, has departed from his word, yet there are signs that things are going the other way. The so-called quiet revival that's taking place. Younger people going back to church. Bible sales increasing. So all these things are encouraging at this present time. And so we do need to pray. The Bible tells us to pray for kings and all those in authority over us, that we may have a peaceful life. When you consider what goes on in some countries, what a peaceful country this is. Yes, we might moan about the government and all that sort of stuff and so on, but you know, it is a peaceful country that we live in, not like some of these countries where there's in no time there's unrest and there's revolution and all sorts of things are going on. So let's just pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we would pray for our country this morning. We bring our king and royal family to you. We ask your blessing upon them. Watch over them, Lord, and be with them. We thank you for the progress our king has made with his cancer. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for your blessing upon the royal family. Pray for our prime minister and government. Guide them, Heavenly Father, to do what is good and what is right for this country at this particular time. So we pray for our land, that there may be a real spiritual awakening. We thank you for signs that things are happening. People are coming back to church. We pray, our gracious God, that people may turn to you, may turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and find fellowship within your church. So we do pray for that. Pray about the situation in Iran. We pray, Heavenly Father, concerning that. We pray for the Christians there. Protect them, we pray, from danger and persecution. Watch over them, we pray. Be with the believers there in Iran at this time. Pray for the wider Middle East, and pray for the land of Israel and for Gaza and the wider Middle East, that the peace may prevail at this particular time. We do pray for all world leaders. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are seeking to bring about peace in this troubled world. Lord, you know all their names, the names of the world leaders. We just pray for them. We just pray particularly for President Putin, Heavenly Father, that he may have a change of heart, may agree to bring this awful war in the Ukraine to an end. So, Heavenly Father, we pray for him this morning. We also remember our persecuted brothers and sisters in various parts of the world, those who are not free to come here today. We pray for them, our gracious God, for those who are persecuted, who are imprisoned, who lose their homes and churches simply because of their faith in you. Lord, encourage them and be with them, we pray. So we bring our prayers to you now, our loving God and Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.